Amen. And it's a wonderful feeling. And if you haven't received that yet, this could be your day to receive the forgiveness of sin that Jesus has for you and be born again and to live in the Spirit and to be cleansed from your sin. And our brother and friend Mark is going to be here to give the word. Now this is Mark Iacobazzi. Most of you know him. Thank you, Mark, for the heart that you have to serve the Lord and how he led us down here. He's really responsible for bringing us down here through the Holy Spirit. And we have been drawn, and we have been here ever since for 15 years. Amen. Almost 15 years. So, you know, like I say every now and then, this could be our last Saturday here. Because if the rapture comes, I'm going. I'm not going to be here. And a lot of us won't be here. So you'll be on your own. And the Holy Spirit won't be here either. And you don't want to be left behind. So those of you who have wandered in here and you think that this is maybe one big joke, well, you know what? It isn't. We're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you can receive his forgiveness today. I hope you're here. I hope these words that Mark is going to preach today will inspire you to make a move to change your life and to serve a living God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I am so humbled when I stand before you and I'm in your presence, Lord. I thank you for coming before us, Lord, and making the way. Lord, we don't take this as a joke. This is a very serious matter for all of us who come down here and serve in your name. I pray right now, Father God, that you would use Mark in such a mighty way today, that the words that come from his mouth will be pleasing to you, Lord. That you'll use him to relay the message that we so need to hear. And Lord, protect your people from the evil one. Lord, I know that Satan's main job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he tries so hard to do that. But Lord, you're a bigger God. And I thank you and praise you that you are bigger and more powerful and more mighty. And Lord, we serve a living God, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you and praise you once again. We turn this whole service over to you, Lord. Speak through Mark. Anoint him with the Holy Ghost, Lord, that he will be able to speak your word loud and clear. And we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
What do you think about this little lady here? Boy, oh boy. I heard Dr. Charles Stanley. Some of you might know that name. I heard him say that we are tallest when we are on our knees. We are tallest when we are on our knees. And you know, not everybody can kneel. You know, there might be something physical that keeps you from kneeling down. But I'm going to ask you something this morning here. I don't know. I've been hanging around these missionaries lately. You know what they tell me? These people's kitchens are outside. Their kitchens consist of a steel pot somehow that they got somewhere, and they got a fire that they build, and they sleep on dirt floors, and it's one room for the entire family. Sometimes more than one family in one room. I'm just feeling real blessed this morning. We got heat. We got hot and cold running water. We got a kitchen with hot food. If you're able to kneel, get down on your knee with me this morning and pray with me, won't you? Just right now, right where you're at. Just get out of your chair. If the Lord speaking to you, if it's something you want to do in reverence to Jesus. Lord, now this really speaks to me, Lord. I got Steve up here kneeling and playing the organ. I'm always going to remember this moment. We love you, Steve. We love you, Judy. We love you, kitchen. We love you, volunteers. We love you, those that provided the clothing and all the labor that takes to put this service together. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And you, please, Lord, help somebody to get a hold of what I'm going to say right now. And you first loved us. And you continue to love us this morning. Every single person here, 1 John says, oh, what love the Father has lavished upon us, Lord. There's somebody here this morning that feels no love whatsoever. There's somebody here this morning that feels minimal love. And there's somebody here that's looking for love. And they're in the right place, Lord. Jesus is here. Jesus is alive on this 14th cold day of January. It's in Jesus' name we praise you for what we're about to hear and feel and receive. And all of God's family said, amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Steve. If you have your Bibles, please open to the book of Micah. You're welcome just to listen or open to the book of Micah. Just a couple pages back at the end of the Old Testament. I want to read one verse to you here as we move into the New Testament. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says this. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. That sounds like a promise to me. Let me read it one more time. But as for me, you know, here's something somebody taught me a long time ago. When you read something that says, as for me, you can put your hand on your chest. This is what I do when I read a scripture like this. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. That sounds like a promise to me. I'm jumping into the New Testament now, into 2 Corinthians. Listen to this regarding promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Let me read that to you again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Let me ask you something that's going to spark something negative in your mind. I'm doing it for a reason. I'm doing it to myself too. Do you know anybody in the past that has made a promise to you and broke that promise? Well, I have. Do you know somebody who has made a promise to you and has broke that promise? Well, I'll tell you what, that's painful, isn't it? But that's life. And you're going to have people that are going to make promises to you, and they're going to break those promises. I don't want to think about that today. I don't want to be that person today that breaks a promise or hurts somebody. But I want to think about the one who made 1,000 promises, and they are all yes to Christ. That means something to me. No offense to all of you. No offense to our president. No offense to the Pope. No offense to our churches. No offense to our pastors that are represented here today. But you're men. You're women. You make promises and you break them. And God does not break a promise. If you believe that, would you say amen? I think that touches the heart of the Lord. I think that touches the heart of the Father, because Satan himself, whose nickname fits him appropriately, he is the Father, okay? He also is called the Father. Isn't that interesting? God the Father, Satan the Father. You know why? The Bible calls him the father of lies. He's lying to me. He's lying to you. He says there's no end to this difficulty you're going through. He says there's no end to an addiction I might have or you might have. He says there's no end to the conflict in your family. He says there's no reason to try to build relationships in your family versus the conflicts. Do you know that conflicts will never go away? That's not very good news, but that's being real, right? Conflicts will not go away. You're going to have them in your family. You're going to have them in your work. You're going to have them in this room. You're going to have them with your friends. You're going to have them with your spouse. But relationships, man, there's something about relationships that can last a lifetime and they can become contagious. And there's one relationship I want to talk to you about today, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to read a piece of scripture to you here and then tell you a short story. Then we're going to get into the Word. I appreciate you listening today. Lord, help us to listen clearly, because this is your Word, Lord, not mine. This is not my opinion, Lord. This is the Holy Spirit moving to and fro about this room. Just touch us, Lord. Just touch us and help us to shield the enemy who's on one shoulder possibly telling us, I'm ready to eat. Well, I'm ready to eat too, but I want this sustenance. I want this food of the Word of God this morning. I hunger and thirst this morning, Lord, and we all do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it one more time and tell you a little story. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. I was telling some brothers here this morning when I walked in. My mother, she's going to be 86 in March. God bless her. I'll tell her that you clap for her. She'll appreciate that. My mom is a good woman. She loves the Lord. She fell and broke her hip about 4 years ago. She was out watering tomatoes in the garden. You know, she fell. And she was in a hurry to get inside the house to watch the baseball game. That's the kind of lady she is. And she went through therapy. She got herself a new hip. She's on her feet again. If I'm in her house and I'm down the basement, I can hear her upstairs. I'm like, slow down, you know. So she lives in Cauga Falls. She was born and raised right underneath the Y Bridge here. Anybody in the room know where Glenwood Avenue comes down the hill to Howard? Anybody in the room here knows where Glenwood comes down and Turner goes to the left? All right, that was where she was born and raised, right there on Turner Street. Well, she doesn't get down this way. She hasn't been down this way for years, and you're going to understand when I say for years. There was a traffic accident on Route 8, and we needed to go south. I said, Mom, let's take Main Street south. We'll just go that way. When we get to the Y Bridge, you know what she said? Because the last time she saw the bridge, it was the viaduct. Do you remember the viaduct that was there? She says, what a beautiful bridge. I said, you haven't seen this bridge, Mom? She said, no, I haven't seen this bridge. Well, now it's remodeled again, right? They put the new lights and the new fencing and everything there. It's beautiful. Akron tax dollars at work, I guess. But it's a beautiful bridge, and she couldn't stop talking about it. You know why? Her roots were down below that bridge. You know where you were born. I know where I was born. I can still see my house. I close my eyes and still see the bedroom I slept in. She still has at her house a bathroom hamper that she used to keep for dirty clothes, had a lid on it. And I used to get inside that when I was a little boy. And I remember thinking, hey, why can't I fit in this basket anymore? I didn't realize I was growing. These are roots. These are roots. When you go to your roots, your spirit gets stirred up. And my mother's roots were stirred, and she said, what a beautiful bridge. And I want to tell you, she gave me a thought. I couldn't stop thinking about what a beautiful bridge. The scripture says, for there is one God and one mediator, one bridge, if you will, between God and men. That man, Christ Jesus. What a beautiful bridge we have in Christ Jesus. I'd like to prove it, just in case you're not too sure that you know that you have this bridge between you and God the Father. He's connecting to you personally. Now, you think about this the next starry night when you look outside, because I do this all the time. If there's no clouds in the sky at night, we're going to get a heavy frost. You look up, and if you're in a place where there's not very many lights, man, you can really see. And I think to myself, okay, we've got a God who put all this in place and knows all these stars by name, yet He knows me. What did I do to deserve that? And the answer is, nothing. But I'm His child. Again, 1 John 2. Oh, what love the Father has lavished on us because we are children of God. I'm hoping there's not a soul in the place today that feels unloved. But chances are, this is the world. You may not admit it. You might be too proud, whatever the word is. But you can't say, I feel unloved. But in essence, that's what we're all searching for. And that's why God sent Jesus to give us the ultimate love. Listen to what He does here. Then I'm going to prove that He does it. All right, with His word, not my opinion. I'm in Hebrews now. I'm in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Some of you know this verse. Some of you know this word, Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a high priest. You know what a priest is? I know what a priest is. Here's something that a priest is. It's a man. Here's something that happens to a priest. He lives and he dies. The Bible says that. But listen to this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. In other words, they died, they couldn't serve anybody anymore. But because Jesus lives forever, oh my. Steve, did I just say Jesus lives forever? Could you say that with me this morning that the Father could hear this? Jesus lives forever. Let's try it one more time. Jesus lives forever. One more time to hide it in our heart. Jesus lives forever. That's very important to God the Father. I'm going to show you why in a minute here. Because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Now, if you were raised in the Catholic Church, you knew who your priest was. If you didn't go to any church, you may not have had any relationship with a pastor or a leader. But let me just tell you, you look up to that man. You trust him. But did I say M-A-N? I did. He's a man. He's a good man, or he may be a bad man. I don't know. But he's a man, and he died. Jesus lives forever. Listen to the rest of this verse here. I'm going to start it from the beginning, then you're going to know where I'm going with this. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God. And how do we come to Him? Through that beautiful bridge. That's how we come to Him. Because He always lives to intercede for them. Did I just say that Jesus intercedes for me and for you? Did I just say that Jesus talks to God the Father about me? See, He looks down. The Father knows who I am. I'm made in the image of God just like you are. Satan will try to tell you you're made in the image of something else. So Jesus and God are having this conversation about me. They're having this conversation about you. Lord, thank you. Every promise is yes in Christ. Continue to help us to listen, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's church said, amen. You think about this now. God the Father and Jesus Christ are saying about you, Mark's going through a tough time right now. Help him, Father. Susan, she's going through a tough time right now. Daryl, he's going through a time like he's never had in his life. John is on top of his game. He's praising you, Father. Continue to pump yourself into his life. And touch him that he can continue to even serve you more. Stephen, he doesn't even believe in you, Father. Jesus is interceding for us because he's alive. I want to prove it this morning. I want to share something with you from Matthew chapter 28. And Steve, I know you got muscles in your fingers. I'd love to hear you play in the background as we read. You ready for this? Imagine coming out of a cave and this being the first time you heard this word. The resurrection story. The resurrection story. Is it fiction? Some say yes. I say no. I say, I believe it. I've seen too much evidence. You know, maybe I'm one of those human beings that needs a lot of evidence. And those religious leaders said to Jesus, you know, show us this and show us that. And he said, I'll give you a sign. Jonah will be in the belly of a fish. Large fish. Man. He'll live inside that fish. Ooh, I think about that. I don't think there was any comfortable surroundings in the stomach of that fish. You talk about trauma. You talk about horror. You talk about terror. You talk about hopelessness. He's in the belly of a fish. He's going to be digested. That sounds like a slow, horrible... You can think about it. Jesus said, here's my sign. He was in the belly of that fish, and up he came. Up he came. Jesus is no dummy, folks. And he didn't want to make things complicated. Why would he want to make things complicated and things like a puzzle? He wants us to understand, number one, how much he loves you. How much he loves me. Not in spite of what I've done or what I haven't done, just because he loves me. And that's why he loves you this morning. Listen to this story. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read about 9 or 10 verses, then we're going to pray. After the Sabbath, at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, you know who Mary Magdalene was, poor dear lady. 7 demons, they said she had. Jesus drove them out. She washed his feet with her tears and she dried them with her hair. Jesus said, I'll never forget what you've done for me, Mary. Mary was at the tomb with the other Mary. They went to look in the tomb. Verse 2. Here's God showing off a little bit, okay? Hey, why not? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And going to the tomb, rolled back the stone. There's no pebble, folks. It's a stone. Angel rolled it back, and he sat on it. I wondered if he just, I don't know, but he just sat on the stone. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. We can relate to that today. The guards were so afraid of him. It's interesting. Unbelievers, they saw this happen just as well as the believers did. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, oh boy, you talk about a great event. And now you not only have angels rolling back a stone and sitting there, now you got them talking. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus. Do you know that he knows who's looking for him today? And he knows who's not looking for him today. That makes me very sad. My brother and I were talking before. We said there could be somebody here today who, if they died right now, God forbid, your eternal home would be in hell forever. The Bible calls it a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where you can never, it'll never stop. I heard a pastor say one time that hell is eternal as heaven is. I'm going to be honest with you, that scared me. But the angel spoke and said, I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Well, obviously he wasn't there. The angel said, then go quickly and tell the disciples, he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. I suspect that the angels were gone just like that. Now I have told you. Matthew 28, verse 8. Listen to this. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. I got a couple friends that like to run. Personally, no offense, but I don't see the enjoyment in breaking up my knees and my shins. But they like it. And my one buddy tells me all the time, he said, man, I had a great run. I had a great run this morning. And I was thinking to myself when I was going over this, you talk about a great run. These little ladies were running from the tomb, okay, to go tell the disciples, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Resurrected Lord. Brutally crucified, folks. "Greetings," he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet. They worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." All right, here's the end of the story. This is kind of an odd thing to say in the same sentence, but here's the end of the story and the beginning. You'll know what I mean in a minute. Here's the end of the story and the beginning. Now we move into Acts chapter 1, okay? Acts chapter 1 talks about Jesus over a period of 40 days after he rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples. 40 days. Man, you know, he wanted to prove to them, "I am alive. I'm amazed that God the Father had that much patience with unbelievers." Did I say unbelievers? Yes, I did. Back to Matthew here. I hope this isn't you today. I hope it isn't me. Well, that's interesting. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples," I thought there was 12. We know who the 12th was. Judas. "But the 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted." See, this is that enemy that's pulling at you. This is that enemy that's tugging at me, and he's twisting things. And he's saying, "There's too much to think about. I can't just focus on Jesus." Somebody told me that in Matthew 6:33 or something, that if I seek God first in his kingdom, everything else will be added unto me. I can't get a hold of that. I got too much to do to just put Jesus first in my life. Let me tell you put Jesus first in your life, hang on. It's like consuming rocket fuel, folks. Some of them doubted, and I'll tell you why it's like rocket fuel. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I want to follow a God like that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And here it is. Here's January the 14th, 2012, right now. You ready? Here's January 14th and 15th, if it should come. "And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know that Jesus is in this room. Give him a hand this morning. Praise the Lord. He's here. I'm going to say, you know, my father-in-law, God bless him, one of his favorite songs is from a group called the Tallies that says, "In order for me to become like him, he had to become like me. In order for me to become like him, he had to become like me." He knows the pain in this room. He knows the joy in this room. He knows what's ahead for you and what's ahead for me. Would you bow your heads this morning? I appreciate you listening. Quietly and patiently. I'm going to leave it up to you if you continue and you want to kneel like we did at the beginning. I'm just doing this because I don't know. I just feel so humble right now, and I feel the presence of the Lord so strong. And I think of what Dr. Stanley said, that we are tallest when we are on our knees. We are tallest when we are on our knees. And if God's speaking to your heart, not only receive this prayer, but take it with you and grow with it. Find somebody you can talk with. Find somebody you can help dig into the roots of your life, putting your past behind you that Satan tries to throw up in your face, and move forward in Christ. This is a starting point. They call it a sinner's prayer. That's what I am. That's what you are. But we have a Savior, Jesus. This is a simple prayer, yet it can be so powerful. A prayer of confession of our sins, a prayer of commitment to our Lord. Pray with me if God's speaking to you. "Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.